Manya, Luke, and I watched a movie last night that has been recommended to us for some time, titled Ford vs. Ferrari. It was a great show, and as we watched that, and then Luke and I got into The Matrix after that, and Manya camped out. She said, I can't do that weird stuff. So she left us for The Matrix, and you know, I enjoy watching movies. But as much as I enjoy movies, I can't tell you who won the Best Actor Award last year. I also enjoy watching a football game every once in a while. I'll gladly root against Tom Brady next Sunday or whenever it is that the Super Bowl comes up. But I couldn't tell you for the life of me who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago. I'm proud to be an American. But for the life of me, I can't tell you who the Vice President of the United States was when Gerald Ford was in office. Norris Howell probably can, our dad. But of those questions that are important to my life, if you ask me this one question, or I ask any of you today to a person, you would be able to answer me clearly and without hesitation, who was your first grade teacher? I remember mine, Miss Sylvia Braddock. And I remember how she loved me and taught me and expressed more educationally by how she taught than what she taught. I know Elizabeth probably has that same impact on her students. There is a power and a beauty in teaching. So much so that not only is teaching important educationally, but it's important in every aspect of our life, right? Our son Noah, we're so happy. He'll be entering dental school here this fall. And Dr. Howell, his mentor, said to him a few weeks ago, he said, Noah, I'm going to take a vacation next week, so won't you just come on over and take over for me for the week? We all laughed. Because we knew that was a joke. We knew nobody, his daddy including, would let Noah in their mouth without him being formally taught the trade of dentistry. He's going to spend years preparing. And we, as patients, expect no less, right? Well, friends, if education is important at our youngest ages as we grow academically, and if education is important to us as we seek to serve our world professionally, then how much more important is education and the teaching ministry to our faith? We understand the importance of growing in our head, in our heart, and in our hands as people of Christ. Jesus, in our text today, exemplified here very early in Mark, just after his baptism, and as we heard last week, his call of the disciples into ministry to become fishers of men. The first thing they do together is he goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach. And to prepare those who are going to serve with him, offering his Father's love to the world. Yes, friends, teaching is paramount to our faith. We gain so much, but you know what else? Teaching is also an opportunity for us to give so much. Now, I bragged on Noah, so I got to brag on Luke a little bit. Y'all forgive me for this, but what else you going to do when you get old like me? You got to brag on your kids, don't you, Kenny? Luke and his bowling team will be going to state this week. First time ever the boys and the girls have been at the same time. And Luke has become a leader on that team. And you know what I tell him? I say, Coach Willie and I've talked about this, as he's wrestled with his girls before, and he says, who's your leader? That's what he asked them. He wants them to identify the leader within their midst. And for me, I say to Luke, more important than what you do out on the lane is what you do in representation of that team and how you lead others and help them be their best. That's what we want, isn't it? You see, that's what teachers do. They're not only those who help people grow intellectually, but they help them become more than they would have been without their nurturing mentoring. That's what real teaching is. That's the power of it. You know, I think of that educational journey that Noah had when we were in St. Louis. And he was a part of that Catholic school called St. Joseph Institute for the Deaf. And this little teacher named Sister Ann had this wild bunch of kids who were completely out of control. And I thought, oh my goodness, they're going to chew her up and spit her out. It took her 1 week. And she had complete control of the classroom. Never raised her voice. Teaching, friends, is a calling and a gift. And our God embraced it, shared it with His disciples, and yes, I believe, calls us to appreciate that same ministry. As students of the faith, eager to learn through our own prayer, Bible study, worshiping together, but also to be those who know the beauty of teaching the faith too. Of sharing what we've learned, right? Of giving the life-giving love to those around us. Now, so that transcends to the question, what do we teach? As people of Christ, what is it that the world needs to hear most of all from us? Friends, I think there's a hint of it in our text today. As Jesus went into the synagogue, and as Mark chronicles it, the gospel writer, and says, as he began to teach, did you hear someone oppose his teaching? In our text today, it said a man who'd been possessed. He had been possessed, and the demon spoke out against Jesus' teaching, against his ministry, and said, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us? Friends, I think more than a question, that was a rhetorical comment, because the demon knew that Jesus had come to destroy him and what he stood for. Here's what I mean. Friends, we're living in a world filled with hate and death. And that's the representation of evil around us. And our God, through Jesus Christ, came to destroy death and hate forever through life and love. You see, that's what we teach. We teach that through Jesus Christ, love is the hope for our world. And in Him, there is life beyond the brokenness of death that we've all experienced. You know, as I shared earlier, this has been a week of loss. A week and weeks to come of grief. As we grieved the loss of the saints of our church. Our brother Elvin, who departed us recently. Billy Mooney. Thelma Tate, as I mentioned earlier. Noah's teammate. Francis. Friends, we need to hear in the midst of this loss. And the world needs to hear from us that through Christ, death has been defeated. That this broken world that is filled with questions and, yes, hate is truly and certainly going to be conquered victoriously by our God's love forever. May we find comfort in that. May we hear the words that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth when he said, if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, have hope, church, for we have a home built in heaven for the ages forevermore. Jesus came that we may teach through Him His life, love and joy forever. Friends, as you're listening today, and maybe some of you virtually, maybe there are questions in your heart. How can I be assured that I'm going to taste glory that my eternal destiny is secure in Christ. In other words, that I am going to go to heaven and not the other way when this broken world ends. Friends, I think it's as simple as putting our trust in Christ. For some of us, it's simplified. As a teacher, I learned once the ABCs of the journey to faith in Christ. The A, we admit that we're broken, that we live in an imperfect world. We admit that we're part of the imperfection, right? We all are sinful and in need of a Savior and restoration. That's the A of the journey to faith in Christ. Admit that we need a Savior. The B. The B is to believe that Jesus was perfect to overcome our imperfection. That He truly is the Son of God. And the C of that journey to faith in Christ is to confess Him, the perfect Savior, as our Lord now and forever. You know, for those of us who've grown up in the faith, maybe that's an easy transition to make, though ABCs, to admit we're sinful, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to confess Him as our Lord. But what if this faith, this journey to life in Christ is new to us? We've never really heard much talk of Jesus growing up, and we've never even really uttered a prayer to God. Friends, to those of you wrestling and searching for life today and peace forevermore, I ask you this question. Can you believe in love? Can you believe as you look upon this broken world of grief and death and hate and truly believe in your heart of hearts that love is the hope for all of creation? If you believe that, that's your first step to believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, our scriptures tell us and promise us that Jesus Christ Himself is love. So my prayer for you as you seek to be affirmed in your faith and that you are a child of God is to believe that love is the hope and to pray in your spirit that God will make Himself known to you even at this moment through the love of Christ. We've talked about teaching this morning. And I shared with you at the beginning, I watched a great movie last evening called Ford versus Ferrari. And in that movie, an important transition in the life of Carroll Shelby, a car designer, former race car driver, was when he partnered with the Ford Motor Company. And he gave this speech as they were launching their new racing campaign. He said, "When I was 10 years old, my daddy told me, 'Son, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.' But he said, 'There are those few precious souls.' And he said, 'I don't even know if you would call them lucky, but they do something not simply because they love it, but because they can do nothing else. There's a passion, there's a drive, there's a desire that they must take action.' He said, 'I'm one of those people.' And friends, I say to you today, as you consider God's call upon your life, what form of teaching ministry our Lord wants to use you in this world, do this as you search the clarity of God's call for you to teach of His love. Do what you have no choice. As I said to you last week, as we search the call, we remember that God doesn't call the equipped, Steve. He equips the called. If you can do nothing else, God has placed a passionate call upon you to serve Him for His glory through His love now and forever. Let's pray together. Oh God, we are grateful that you came into this world to teach. To teach friends and disciples that you are the hope for our broken world. That your love will indeed conquer hate. And that you came that life will overcome death forever. As we pray this day, we pray for brothers and sisters who are ready to begin their journey of life in you. May they pray and have peace even as we pray together, seeking you to make yourself known to them at this very moment as we pray for them and with them. That simply in trusting in you, God, as Savior, you sustain us through this broken world into life forevermore. God, we pray for your church. We pray for the ministry of this congregation and the ministry of all of our worshipers today, wherever they call church home. Will you guide us with your Spirit and your light and love as we serve our communities and our world to your glory? We pray for our nation. We lift up our president, our Senate, our Congress, the Supreme Court. We pray especially for those who serve in our military that you'll keep them safe and out of harm's way. We lift up our states, our county and city governing bodies. For all who hold authority and power over others, oh God, guide them in the spirit of Micah, your prophet, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in your way. We pray for friends and family, for those who are closest to us, those you've entrusted us to minister to most of all. We pray for those who are sick and grieving this day. We lift up every single person right now that is worshiping with us as we pray for each other and with one another, whether the need be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, or professional. Oh God, you are the physician. May you bring restoration and healing into our lives and the lives of those we pray for. We also pray for those we're furthest from those we are estranged, even our enemies. Will you soften their hearts and ours and bring healing and wholeness to our relationship? And now, God, as your children, we gain confidence even as we pray for ourselves in uttering the words you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, friends.